Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is producer Tom here. Deborah is in Australia at the moment, and so I'm just jumping in to give you a few quick announcements. First of all, if you are in Australia, Deborah's tour there continues. You can see The Guilty Feminist recorded live in Perth on Monday the 20th of May, Sydney on Thursday the 23rd of May, Melbourne on Saturday 25th of May, Brisbane Monday 27th of May, and we finish in Canberra on Tuesday 28th of May. If London is closer to home, we'll be recording Guilty Feminist episodes at our regular home of King's Place on the 12th of June and the 15th of July. And we also have a special episode of Global Pillage, the comedy panel show where two teams of comedians take on the hive mind of the audience. That's hosted by Abigailia Shimon, and it's on Monday the 17th of June. And finally, if you're going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe, The Guilty Feminist will be recording three live episodes at the Gilded Balloon at the Museum on August the 12th to the 14th at 7:40 p.m. For tickets and more information about all of these, go to guiltyfeminist.com. And now, on with the podcast.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm a feminist, but today I had to get a taxi to this show. And on the way, I had to do my makeup in the back of the cab because I am in what some people on the internet now call goblin mode at the moment because I'm finishing my book. And so when I'm at home, I'm just in like sweats and I look like, you know, I haven't moisturized for days. And so suddenly I've got a show. So I'm like, oh, quickly. And when the taxi driver pulled up, she said, that's right, the taxi driver was a woman all along. You were imagining a man, weren't you? Bad feminists. She said, because I'm there doing eyeliner in the back, she said, take a minute before you get out just to finish off. She said, I was driving as slowly as possible for you because I could see you doing your eyeliner. And I said, that's why we need more female taxi drivers. Because they understand eyeliner at speed. They get it. They get. Now, that's not the reason we should want more female taxi drivers, exactly. But I have to say, it's not half an advantage, is it? She got it. She totally got it. I've never had a man. I do eyeliner in the back of cabs all the time. I've never once had a man say to me, I tried to go a route where there were no speed bumps for you. They don't understand.
At the very least, they could just warn you. Be like, there's a bump coming up so you can pull away.
They will not warn you. I fear one day I'll put my eye out, but I'm really good at it to the extent where sometimes if I am, in fact, stationary, I'm not as good.
Really? You can only do eyeliner in motion.
On public transport.
Wow.
So I'm just like...
You're like a superwoman.
I do it like a ninja, although I don't think it's that good today, so I don't think this is the greatest example of my work.
I think it looks excellent.
Thank you. That's terribly kind, but you would say that.
I would, yeah. And but also, we're doing a podcast, so who cares?
It's a great point, but these people have come out for a show,
this
and I want to give them a show.
Of course.
And I love the fact that you were wearing a jumper that says, I am Kenuff.
Well, that is, in fact, my first, I'm a feminist, but my initial takeaway from the Barbie movie was, I need an I'm a Kenuff hoodie now. Nothing else penetrated my mind other than I need this hoodie. And I bought it. Well, my mom bought it for me.
Good use of the word penetration there.
Thank you.
ironic when it's about Ken. I'm a feminist, but it's Gloria Steinem's birthday today. Woo! Let's do a quick happy birthday for Gloria Steinem, because then I'll send her the audio, okay?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gloria Steinem. Happy birthday to you.
Have a guilty feminist birthday from London, Gloria Steinem. Woo! We appreciate you. So today I just sent her a little happy birthday email. She turned 90 today. And I know, it's her feat. Imagine getting Roe versus Wade. She was so instrumental in getting... And can you imagine being 90 and thinking, oh, fuck, I've got to start this again. But I sent her a happy birthday email and really had to hold back from saying, what face cream do you use? Because seriously, that woman looks not a day over 65. I've really struggled with it before. I've met her, she came to my show, and I had to stop myself asking, just the basic skincare routine is all I need. Because she's definitely not had work. And it's serum or it's jeans, I don't know. If it's jeans, there's not much we can do about it. If there's a serum, I want it. I feel like she has the elixir of youth.
It's always jeans, though.
Do you think?
It's always jeans. I promise you it's always jeans. The elixirs can, like... to keep your face feeling nice, but it's not going to change the cracks. The cracks are coming, whether you want them to or not.
You've got very good skin.
Jeans.
Excellent. Great.
No, my mom, freaking amazing skin.
And she is Knuff.
Yeah, she is Knuff.
Do you have another one?
Yeah, I'm a feminist, but I started waxing for the male gaze. And I've continued waxing, not really at all.
Yeah, I'm a feminist, but the first time I ever had a wax, it was so painful, they had to ask me to be quiet because I was scaring off other... This is true. I was scaring off other clients in the next rooms, they said. And I wore myself down. I basically thought, I've got to keep going. I didn't have another one for like a couple of years, and then I was like, I'm going back in. And I have built up a tolerance, so much so that I enjoy... the pain of a wax now.
Oh, wow.
Because it makes me feel alive and ready to fight the patriarchy. It does.
That's amazing.
I feel like I can withstand this. I can withstand anything. I feel whole. I feel round. I feel elated. I love it. Having said that, that's because I've built up an intolerance. Abigail, the first one I had after the lockdown, oh, my God. I'd lost my tolerance. And I was crying. I like nearly had to tell her to stop.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was horrible. She was very pleased, though, that I hadn't done anything to myself. She said she was seeing some horror shows after the pandemic.
Oh, I bet. A lot of ingrown hairs.
She was saying people have tried to do this themselves and they shouldn't have, and it's just fixing up disaster zones down there. And she said it was like, you know, and mine was just absolute...
El natural.
It was like she was clearing some... You know, that she was like, she was a bad government clearing out jungle. Mm. There were elephants down there going, no.
This is where we live now.
Yeah.
The first place I ever went to a wax was in New York City. And I'm going to go ahead and say not a feminist waxing studio, because they'd try to upsell you passive aggressively. So you'd like go in for a wax on your vagina, and then they'd be like, would you like us to do your lip? And I was like, I don't think I have. And they're like, we could do that for you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, I know that feeling where they go, I think you might need a little bit of, you're like, oh my God. But I think it's the lights they have are so interrogative that they can see things that are naked, you know, to the naked eye are not visible.
Yeah.
And then they are upselling you. That's what they're doing. I'm a feminist, but today I saw this story that a woman in Australia had created a ladies' lounge and men had sued and said this was not fair because of equality or something. And the women... The woman who started the ladies' lounge, which I think was an ironic piece, she's an artist... But she had all of these women come into court, like the Robert Palmer girls, and they were all dressed like... Do you know the Robert Palmer girls? If you're young, you might not know that. But they were like... All looked exactly the same, but it was like 80s backup singers. And they came in to the tune of Simply Irresistible, you know, that Robert Palmer, Simply Irresistible, and they danced into the courtroom, like loads of women. And all I could think was, how do I get sued? What can I do to get sued so I can do something like this? Because I don't want to die knowing I never went into court with the Robert Palmer girls doing some kind of ironic Simply Irresistible. Like, we'd have to think of something new. But I want to go into court with backup dancers like I'm an Ally McBeal. I want that for myself. Is that so unreasonable? Sue me. Literally.
You deserve that.
Thank you. Don't sue me.
I'm a feminist. But my favorite song from Chicago the Musical, a musical with two fierce female leading ladies, is Mr. Cellophane, which is sung by a man.
What?
It's my favorite.
Cellophane's a dirge compared to everything else. Are you saying Mr. Cellophane's better than All That Jazz?
It's the one I gravitate to. I think it speaks my truth.
What?
I know, I'm a very...
Mr. Cellophane, you are in iridescent pink leggings.
So I am no longer see-through. This is all a construct.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Who thinks Mr. Cellophane's the best song in Chicago?
I have one.
One other person, but interestingly, they didn't woohoo, they just put their hand up, and that, I think, speaks volumes. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Show presents the Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, guest co-host Abigail Shimon, and our very special guests, Dina Massawi, Asana Daruya, and Camila Siddiqui, talking about Afghanistan. Hello, 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 and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Guilty Feminists. Have we got a show for you tonight? My God, our guests are absolutely incredible. I cannot wait to get on with it. But first of all, about you. Give us a cheer if you listen to the Guilty Feminists at home. Woo! Give us a cheer if you don't know what you're at. Woo! You don't know what you're at? Sir, I don't want to impose gender on you, are you, in fact, sir? Yes. Excellent. You don't know what you're at, sir. And you've sat in the front row with a brownie and a beer. Yes. You're up for some Monday night feminism.
Excellent.
Would you identify yourself as a feminist?
I try.
You try. Listen, that's all you can do. So that's all we're doing. That's why it's called the Guilty Feminist. Okay? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how feminist would you say you are on an average day-to-day basis?
An eight.
Now, there are clearly women here going, tickets on himself. Most of us rate ourselves a solid 7. But we like your confidence, and we wish we had more of it. What makes you an 8? That's out of interest. Most of us would say we're guilty feminists, we do our best, but often we fail, or time gets in the way, or whatever. What makes you an 8?
Trying and feeling guilty.
Trying and feeling guilty. You are right on the money there, sir. Yes. That's well done, isn't it? Just give us a cheer if you don't know what you're at, but you know what a podcast is. Woo! Excellent. If you don't know what a podcast is, it's radio that no one stops you making. That's why women do it so often, because the normal channels of media are so often closed down to us. We are back out live in this post-pandemic world, and it's so exciting because I could touch you if I wanted to. I'd love to touch. So I never wanted to touch people before the pandemic, but now I want to lick you. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? Look, green nails. Very good. Very good. Just give us a cheer if you think you've got a feminist job. And it doesn't have to be your full-time job. It can be a volunteer role or something else that you do. Just give us a cheer if you think you do for a living or otherwise something feminist. Woo! Just give us a cheer if you think you do something unfeminist for a job. Woo! Or you volunteer for something unfeminist. No one's volunteering for something unfeminist. I feel like that would be too low a bar. Who thinks there might be someone in the room who's got one of the most feminist jobs? Just give us a cheer. Same person I nearly licked. Okay. What's your name?
Alexia.
Alexia. And what do you do?
Hi, I'm Alexia, and I work for a LGBTQI charity called Give Out, and we're just relaunching a women's fund with an event in Lesbian Visibility Week in April.
Wonderful. So what does Give Out do?
Give Out is a community foundation that supports the global LGBTQI movement, so we provide grants to small organisations and activists in the global south and east.
Okay, so do you raise money and then you distribute that money as
yes.
people need it?
Yeah,
okay.
And distribute it in lots of countries where it's either illegal to be LGBTQI or lots of discrimination, harassment and violence, etc.
And what's your role? What's your actual role? Is it ringing people up and saying, give me your fucking money?
Basically,
yes. Geldof way. That's what you do. You ring people up and say, give us your fucking money.
Or I email companies and say, give me a lot of money.
Okay. So you ring up and you say, you know how you've got that rainbow on your page and you have this LGBTQ plus alliance and you're an investment bank.
Yes, exactly.
Put your money where your mouth is.
In fact, one of our biggest donors is an investment bank.
Is it?
Yes.
Because they feel embarrassed that they say that they support LGBTQ plus rights, but they don't. And then you go, look, let me make it easy for you. Just give me the money and I'll make sure it's done. Excellent. So how much money do you need a year?
So globally, the LGBTQI funding, only 8% goes towards LGBTQ women. So that's £700,000 a year. So if we can even... If we can raise...
If we could just get that tonight, guys. £700,000. If we just pass a little hat.
But if we can raise £70,000 this year, that's 10% increase in the global funding.
Wow. Okay. So does anybody have money and wants to give it... This is going to get directly to LGBT women who are in need. They're suffering persecution. They're in places where it's illegal. Has anybody got any money they would like to give? It can be a substantial amount of money because you're in charge of money at a company, or it can be like a fiver. Is there a direct debit situation?
Yeah, there's. You can give one-off donations or set up a monthly direct debit via
Great.
Our website.
And what's your website?
Giveout.org.
Giveout.org. Just give us a cheer if you might visit giveout.org tonight. Excellent. Even if you've got like a fiver or you think, well, I could just have one less latte this week, or you could do a direct debit. Also, you could go up to Alexia in the interval. You could get to know her and you think, well, look, I know where my money's going on this one because Alexia will make sure it gets to the right place. And she looks credible. She's got green hair, green fingernails, and people are trusting that. People are trusting it. I feel you're going to distribute it accurately. Excellent. Thank you so much, Alexia. Anyone else got something feminist that they think we absolutely need to hear about? You're telling on someone like it's a police state. She does something feminist. Do you want to say it? Domestic abuse advocacy. And do you work with them or volunteer with them? You work with them. What are they called?
Refuge.
Oh, Refuge. Okay. And do you need money? Always need money. Do you need anything else? Do you need volunteers? Volunteers would be amazing. What's the commitment with volunteering? Okay, so it could be a couple of hours a week. And do they have to come and do training? Yeah, I think that's probably wise. Yeah, I don't really want to do it without training. Just like, no, just show up, you'll be fine. Okay, so they have to come in and do a bit of training, but then they get some training as well. So where do they go for that? Refuge.org.uk. So if anyone would like to give some money or, in fact, some of your valuable time, those kinds of things, I think if you volunteer, it does connect you more with your community and it does make you feel more like you're part of something. And it does, I think, makes you a more active feminist. Please come in. Don't feel like you have to, loiter. We understand you're late because you've been out there probably fighting the patriarchy and you've probably come in after a long battle, tired. Yes. She's been late because she's been doing patriarchy smashing. Why are you here on time? sliding in with a drink from the bar. Who thinks they've got an unfeminist job? Or yes, you do.
We work for an investment bank.
You work for an investment bank. Oh my god! And you're sitting right next to Alexia. Oh, wonderful news! Wonderful news. Can you only have one investor? Oh, she's in there. She's right in there. Alexia.
If it was the investment bank that I was thinking of.
Oh, is it the investment
we'll
bank? We're talking the interval. Yeah. Are you only allowed one investment bank? Will the others get jealous? Will they be like, no, we're the exclusive? You can have more than one. Excellent. Do you have anything to do? Can I just ask you this? Do you ever do stealth feminism at the investment bank? So do you ever, we don't need to say your names, we don't need to say what the bank is, but do you ever do like Trojan horse feminism where you think, well, this is not a very feminist place in some fundamental ways, but inside this, we can start taking it down one step at a time with our Trojan horse feminism.
100%.
100%! Thank you. Any examples of Trojan horse feminism?
We, well,
Please come in, please come in, come in, take a seat. There's seats up here. There's two seats up the front that seem reserved, but I don't know who they're reserved for. I know they're reserved for guests. Do you mind sitting? Is that okay? Yeah, go for it. Please come in, come in. Do feminism. I'm so sorry. Tell us. I could just see them like... No, there's somebody leaving who's gone, this show's not for me. is that what's happened? Or you just need to go...
My friend's come back. She's sat in another seat.
Oh, okay, you're just moving. To sit with your friend. Oh, thank God. I thought a man had come alone and thought, this is not at all what I thought. When they said guilty feminists, I thought they were going to be a lot guiltier, if you know what I mean. This is just people going, oh, I do HR. What's your Trojan horse feminism? I'm so sorry.
I think we just try to support each other and to make sure that we go up the ladder so that we can change the world.
Excellent. I did have a woman say, well, I tell my clients that I'm to invest in certain things on the basis they'll make money, but they won't. It's just because they're feminist causes I like. And I said, is that illegal? And she went, it might be. So I'm suggesting you up the ante from helping other women already in the organisation to get up the top. And I'm suggesting you go out... So I'm suggesting you break the law heavily, is what I'm suggesting you do. Listen, you're going to leave at some point anyway. It's an investment bank. You don't enjoy it. So just, you know, go out in a blaze of glory, I say. What 6 months in a low-security prison? For the sake of feminism, that's what I'm saying. You're saying you do like it. You're secretly liking it. Yeah, you secretly like it. It's not a secret now, as I've told everyone. I'm sorry. Right, all right. I think it's time we start the show proper. Yes, there's one person who's very keen. Is that the same chap who moved? Yeah, you're just really thrilled. He wants to get on with the guiltiest part of the feminism. All right, let's start the show. Please put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises for my wonderful co-pilot this evening, Abigail Shimon. Abigailia, please take that mic.
I will.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Abigailia.
It's very exciting. Brownie and beer, you eat like a hobbit. I love that, so do I.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you for asking.
Okay, that's all we need.
Yeah.
Are you feeling more guilty or feminist this week?
I would say probably more guilty, because I've done really nothing for feminism this week. It is Monday, though. So I
there's
have
a man
time.
In the front row who's 8 out of 10. You say higher than 8 out of 10 or lower?
Probably lower today.
He's given himself 8 out of 10 because he feels guilty about feminism. I really wish women scored themselves in the same way.
Yeah. Well, also, he's a man, so he's just automatically more confident about his guilt.
I think men just think, just saying I'm a feminist gives them brownie points, whereas we have to say it and prove it. I think that's the...
Yeah.
We have to be doing all the time.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying we should do less. I am saying men should do more. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Abigail Shimon, and we are talking about Afghanistan in this episode with our incredible guests. We're extremely, extremely delighted to have them. But first, are we ready for some stand-up comedy?
Yes!
Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Abigail Shimon!
Yeah!
Hello. I know this is a little weird to start out by saying, but like, I'm really trying to get to 10,000 followers on Instagram. So if you could follow me on Instagram, it's just my first name, at Abigailia. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. Or if you want to follow me on another social media apparatus, I'm on all of them. You know, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans, all of them. Everyone thinks that's a joke. It's not. Here's what happened. OnlyFans has really been trying to change their reputation. So what they've done is they've started this app, and they are putting like safe for work, like YouTube stuff, on this app. And they got in touch with a couple of comedians, and me included, and they were like, Abigailia, will you do a comedy special for us? We will give you lots of money. And I said, thank you. I love comedy, and I love money. Yes, please. And so I did it. The only caveat was I had to start an OnlyFans page and post on it 3 times a week. That's it. Everything I posted on my Instagram, I posted on my OnlyFans. So like my, you know, comedy clips, pictures, you know, just what you'd post on your Instagram. And then on my birthday, I was feeling a little fun. So I decided to put a spicy photo of myself on my OnlyFans and put it behind a paywall. Not too spicy, but a little spicy. And I charged money for it. And that's when I realized there are gold in these them hills. I made like a good chunk of money. I made more money than I'm going to make tonight with just my phone and a ring light. I was like, this is fascinating. And I sat on this information for a while. And then in February, I was like, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to do it. And I posted a photo of myself on OnlyFans completely topless. And I put it behind a paywall again. And like, I love doing comedy so much. I love my job more than anything. I do it for free. And after posting that photo, I can. Like, what I've learned from this is, ladies, do not send nudes for free. Charge. Like, it is fascinating. And my friends have questions for me. You know, I've told my friends about this, and some of my friends, of course, are like, Abigailia, what if they get leaked to the public? And I can sue, and then you can do your legs and co-dance with all the people. So because it's actually a copyrighted image. But secondly, like, I don't know about you guys, but there's been times where I have laid awake in bed in fear that someone will leak the nudes I sent to them when I was in my 20s. Like, I have deeply feared that, because that girl was not confident. That girl was looking for validation from a man. That girl didn't have a ring light. And now, if these nudes get leaked, I'm 38 years old. I don't care. Those are $10,000 titties. Like, I'm like, those are great. Send them out. Why not? The second thing that people always ask me, and this is a thing that female comedians, it sometimes happens to them, is, am I afraid of, like, getting a stalker? Or someone developing a parasocial relationship with me? No, because my boys on OnlyFans have access to me in a way that no one else on the internet does, which somehow makes me feel safer. Also, they're very respectful. So respectful. Like, just always asking for permission. I love them. And secondly, with the parasocial relationship, I thought that they might develop a parasocial relationship with me. What I didn't imagine was that I would develop a parasocial relationship with them. Because they understand that we're playing a fantasy here. They understand that they come for me for something, they get it, they move on with their lives. But I am sitting there at night being like, I'm really worried about Jim from Colorado. The last time we talked, he was really anxious about work. Maybe I should message him. Of course, it does cost him money to message me back. But after I posted this topless photo of me on OnlyFans, OnlyFans got in touch with me, and they were like, love you. Love what you're doing. But because your OnlyFans fan site is attached to your comedy special on the app, you are not allowed to post topless photos of yourself on your page. And I was like, that's fine. I respect that. I will send them through DMs. But what I really appreciate is God bless OnlyFans, because they're trying to change their reputation. And they've really invested in creators for this app. They've gotten comedians involved. They've gotten professional athletes. They've gotten chefs, all making content for OnlyFans. And I know the CEO of OnlyFans is just like, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're changing our reputation. It's going to be... They're all posting porn now. They're all... posting porn. Thank you. I've been Abigailia.
Abigailia Shimon, everybody!
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Take a second and think back to the sex education you had in school. Did it prepare you to have a healthy and happy relationship with sex and identity? If it was anything like mine, it was stigmatizing, judgmental, and totally unhelpful. But not to worry. The experts are here to offer the sex ed we wish we had. Welcome to Sex Ed with DB. We're a feminist podcast and multimedia platform bringing you all the sex ed you never got through unique and entertaining storytelling, centering LGBTQ and BIPOC experts. We cover an array of sex education topics like abortion, period management, sex and disability, pleasure, reproductive justice, healthy relationships, BDSM, birth control, sex in the media, and so much more. We believe that everyone deserves comprehensive, inclusive, pleasure-centered, medically accurate sex education. Follow along with us as we revolutionize the way we talk about sex. And tune in to Sex Ed with DB wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. Our tour down under begins, and we can announce our amazing co-hosts for these shows on the 11th of May in Auckland, the 14th of May in Wellington, and the 15th of May in Christchurch. I am going to be co-hosting for the first time with the incredible stand-up comedian from Aotearoa, Michelle Accourt. I mean, she's huge in New Zealand and a massive feminist. I'm very, very excited. We tried to work with her before, and her daughter very inconveniently gave birth that night. So I can't think of a more feminist reason not to come. So we're very, very excited. Then we'll be in Adelaide on the 18th of May with Geraldine Hickey. After that, we're coming to you, Perth, on the 20th of May with Claire Hooper. Then we'll be in Sydney on the 23rd of May with Geraldine Hickey. And then we'll be in Melbourne on the 25th of May. I am not allowed to say who the co-host is, but she is a big Australian favourite and she's amazing. I am not allowed to announce her yet because she's so famous and fabulous. And the guest is an A-list Australian star. Again, we're just getting permission to announce her. So I would recommend if you're in Melbourne especially... Our tickets are going fast everywhere, but I would recommend if you're in Melbourne especially, you get your tickets now before the announcement is made, because you are going to want to see these people. And we also have some incredible activist voices and other special stuff going on.
The last two dates are in Brisbane on the 27th of May with the wonderful Alice Fraser, and in Canberra on 28th of May, we end the tour with Kirsty Wiebeck. Grace Petrie's coming out and she's doing all the dates with me. We're also going to have poets, activists, incredible guests. It's going to be, do you remember how buzzy the tour was last time and everyone was hysterical at the end? It's going to be like that again. So do not miss out. Get tickets now at guiltyfeminist.com and click on live shows. You can also get an ad-free version of the podcast from Patreon, Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus from as little as £2.50 a month. And that really helps to support the podcast and pay all the wonderful people who support me in bringing you The Guilty Feminist every week. You can also show support in a way that costs you nothing by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and giving The Guilty Feminist a 5-star review, even though you've done it before, because it really, really helps other people find us in a very crowded market with a weird algorithm pushing people further to alt-right content every week. And so we'd really, really love it if you'd tell people about it, share it online. And now back to the podcast. All right. We are now at the point where we're going to introduce our guests, who are absolutely extraordinary. Our first guest today works as an actor, director, and producer in theatre, television, and film. Her work aims to encourage integration and empowerment. Working collaboratively to create bold, innovative work, she aims to build a more tolerant and inclusive society through art. Please welcome Dina Massawi. Dina, come take a seat. She's joined by an award-winning actress who recently starred in the BAFTA-nominated and Oscar-shortlisted short film Yellow. A firm believer in how the power of storytelling can change our world for the better, she's also paving the way for more Middle Eastern representation in the film industry. Please welcome Afsane Derrier. And finally, we have a prominent women's rights activist who has worked in leadership roles in different sectors in Afghanistan and the United Kingdom. She's the founder of the Carmela Siddiqui Foundation, which supports Afghan girls safely continuing their education despite it being made illegal under Taliban rule. Please welcome Carmela Siddiqui. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. Let's talk about Yellow first. It's an extraordinary film. It's 12 minutes long. It's very, very beautiful. And you've been BAFTA nominated and Oscar shortlisted, which is pretty damn impressive.
Thank you.
So maybe, Dina, you can tell us, as the producer of the film, could you give us a little elevator pitch as to what the film is about?
Yeah, so Yellow is a short film about a young girl who walks into a chadori store in Kabul to buy her very first full body veil. And following the Taliban's decree that women are not allowed in education and they have to cover their bodies and all the horrible things that are happening to Afghan women at the moment.
And you play this extraordinary woman, and it's a beautiful, really, really beautiful performance, Afsane. Could you please tell us what drew you to the role and how you approached it?
Well, when it came to the role, I'd worked with Elham Essas before, so he came to me with the script, and it was definitely something that had felt prevalent in my life, I would say, since 15th of August 2021. I remember that day happening and the emotional impact it had on me. It felt very consuming. And so to be offered a part that meant I could channel and tell this woman's story, because part of the emotional impact was trying to just navigate going around London in survival mode and feeling constantly distracted by what was really going on and sort of feeling like my body was in places, but everything inside of me was somewhere very far away. So, it meant a lot to be able to put all of that in a story, put all of my anger and tell a story that raised awareness to it, really, because so much of my anger was about the fact that nobody was talking about it.
Yeah, it went out of the headlines incredibly, incredibly quickly. And can you just tell us a little bit more about the story in the film?
Sure. So the story is actually very, very simple, but I think that's why it's actually so powerful. It captures a moment in this woman's life, Layli, and she walks into a fabric store to buy her first chadari, which is where she meets the salesman.
Can you just describe a chadari? Because I think most people have seen one, but they might not know it by that name.
Absolutely. So it's the full blue veil with mesh covering the eyes too, so more, even more restrictive than a burqa. And even we did rehearsals for Yellow, and it was very useful getting to experience rehearsing with it on, and just even just knowing that chadari, it wasn't costume that it was made. It was sent over from Afghanistan from Elham's family, and so I really got to kind of put my own experience into what would it be like, because that's really how we should be thinking about it. What would it be like if this happened to us right now? It should feel that wild. And a lot of that is kept in the film because, for example, when I first put it on, I couldn't see and I was stumbling around. And I know that that's something that Afghan women are saying a lot, that part of why they're not leaving the house is because it just feels so pointless stepping out the door and stumbling around everywhere and falling over and not being able to see. And so I also put it on and laughed because I looked absolutely ridiculous, and we keep those natural human reactions in the film. So,
and there is comedy in the film, the way that the young man, and without spoilers, it's like the first thing that happens, he's told off by the boss of the shop for playing an instrument, and the boss is saying the Taliban will be in, you're not allowed music, you know, you stop that or I'll be in trouble. Yeah. And so there's restrictions in every direction, you know, everybody's frightened, everybody's being locked down in some way, but then this extreme restriction that she experiences, and he's helping her try it on, but they have a sort of warmth between them and a sadness between them and an understanding of this is what's going to have to happen. And there's a television on saying the news, and they're saying that if women don't do it, their male guardian will be arrested. And so it actually brings division into families, because then, you know, it could be your father or your husband or your brother might be taken away if you refuse. So your own activism won't have an impact on you, and they do that deliberately to make sure that you don't do that because you love the men in your life and you don't want them taken away, but also to create that structural violence within families of somebody saying, you have to, because otherwise I'll be in trouble. So it's a really beautiful piece. I don't want to sort of spoil too much of it for the audience, but is there anywhere we can see it?
Well, at the moment, no, it's with the distributors and they're trying to find a home for it, but it was on YouTube, and we got loads of thousands and thousands of views. But at the moment, we're still working on where it's going to be shown.
Well, please let us know when it's out, because we can put it on the podcast and everybody can go and see it. It's really, really, really beautiful, and you're fantastic in it, and well done for producing it and bringing it to your attention.
Can I ask a question? Afsana, did you ever wear a chadri before this?
No, never.
What was it like putting one on?
I mean, I'll put it this way. Every time we cut the camera when we filmed and I did the final scene, mm-hmm. I just burst into tears and we had to take a moment to reset.
Did they have good snacks on set?
Dina, we did.
Because
we
did. If you're doing something emotional, you need a muffin afterwards. Good.
There was some great Lebanese flatbreads that I remember, some dolma, there was some pizza.
I made sure everyone was full.
Good. Good.
It's true, because it must have been emotional work, because you know that that's really happening.
Exactly.
To so many women, and so many women are acting out this very scene at the moment, you know.
I actually play a small role in the film. I play an extra, and I had to wear the chadari, and all
I was going to say, I didn't see you, but that explains it.
Yeah, well, all I had to do was
leave the shop and sort of cross that way, and the camera was sort of there, to the right of the camera. And I kept getting it wrong because I couldn't see the floor. I couldn't look down, and I was really worried. And I basically just walk really fast. When you watch the film, one of the exterior shots where Layli goes into the shop, I walk out, and I just walk really fast because I'm so scared of bumping into anyone.
Yeah,
It's horrible.
Restrictive.
Yeah.
No peripheral vision at all, and very little vision front on.
And really claustrophobic as well.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us found the masks very claustrophobic. Can you imagine your whole face being covered and how hot it would be and how restrictive it would be and how frightening it would be, really, because you... But also, it says, I think, in the film when they... I think it's like at the post-credits, that women are not allowed out without a male guardian anyway.
Yeah,
not allowed
that's
to go
true.
Out and leave the house without that.
Yeah,
which brings us to you, Carmela. So, could you tell us your story? You were in Afghanistan when the Taliban took hold. Is that right?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much to invite me for such an important show. As you discuss about the chaudhary, I am a woman that experienced 4 years marketing with chaudhary, and there is a book about me, The Dressmaker of Khair Khana. When Taliban took over of Afghanistan in the first time in 1996, I started a small business with two of my sisters in my living room, and then after 6 months, we were able to create job for 150 women. For 4 years, I was wearing chaudhary and create job for other people.
Wow. So you wore one for 4 years, and then the Taliban was removed, and you lived in a way that was, you were telling us backstage that you were, it was a time for women that was much, much, much more progressive, and there was lots of education. Can you speak to the time after the Taliban?
Yes, it was not only, it was not a challenge of just wearing a chaudhary. There was a lot of other challenges that women were faced that time. And then when the situation changed, there was no place to register a business or anyone think about business. There was a lot of support from international community for the NGO development. I was trying to find some place to register my business. And my plan was that because I was very young and I was trying to register a company and help other women and share my experience at least with the other women to start some businesses. That time, with a one laptop computer, I registered a consulting company, and I was able to implement 56 economic empowerment projects around the country. And I had trained 10,000 women in all province of Afghanistan that how they can start their own businesses.
Wow.
There was a lot of achievement. Then I was involved in export and import business. And then the first taxi company that I established in Afghanistan, Pink Taxi, for a group of women. And there was a lot of achievement. And I received a request from my president to work in the government. And then I joined with the government for a few years.
And this recent time that the Taliban's taken hold, what was that experience like for you?
The recent time when Taliban took over of Kabul, I was working in the private sector and support a lot of women and create job again for people. In Afghanistan, I left my job from the government and suddenly Taliban took over of Kabul. I was in Kabul, my children was in London, and it was really difficult times that I passed that time by support of my friend, the author of the book, Miss Gail. She helped me to evacuate me from Kabul to Switzerland and from Switzerland to Germany and from Germany to London. That time when I was on the small plane and I was waiting for 7 hours and Taliban was rounding and rounding around the plane and they did not approve our flight. And finally, they approved and I left from Kabul. But when I came to London, I always think about Afghan girls and start some activities and a network by the name of Silent Girls Connected. Until now, I support them for education and also for business.
So this is called Silent Girls Connected?
Silent Girls Connected.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of girls and women that they had contact with the international community, they left Kabul and Afghanistan, and the rich family and important family, everybody left Afghanistan. But there are 35 million people are living in Afghanistan. There are a lot of educated women that they are living right now in Afghanistan without work, without safety, without life. There is nothing for women right now. In this case, I always continue my support for Afghan girls in two important sections. One is education, another is business development.
That's incredible that you do that, and we'd love to support you. I've heard recently that Afghan women are only allowed to see female doctors, but women are no longer allowed to be educated. So this is a horrible dilemma, because women can no longer become doctors. So what will happen when women, where there are no more female doctors?
The problem is that right now, Taliban never think about future of Afghanistan, never think about future of Afghan women. That's why, as they know that they did not allow their daughter or wife to go to female male doctors, and they know the demand and they know the needs, but still they stop and they ban the school and university for girls, and not only medical university, all other sectors. They know the demand, but they never think about future of Afghanistan.
So there's going to come a time. Are there parts of Afghanistan now where there are too few female doctors, so women can't be seen?
Yes, there are a lot of female doctors that they are working in the hospital right now in Kabul and some of the provinces. But
and they're allowed to work.
Enough. Yeah, it's
but
not.
They're allowed enough to work, but to get to work, presumably they need a man to go with them.
Yes.
And then when they're there, they're allowed to be doctors.
There is no chance for them to go to study, to continue their study.
Well, you were saying that some women were in the last tiny little bit of their degree. They are basically qualified doctors, but they're not. But now they're not allowed to finish their studies.
Yes.
And whatever degree you were doing, too bad. You don't qualify, even if you were one day away from completing.
Yes.
What about young girls? Can young girls go to school at all?
No, the young girls cannot go to school from 7th class till 12th. But I support a few groups with the education in different parts of Kabul on their houses. And I got some support from a lady from London, a businesswoman. She helped me to pay the salary of teachers. I started some classes in different parts of Kabul, but
underground. It's
underground,
illegal.
Underground, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I assume the Taliban aren't big listeners to The Guilty Feminist. I imagine most of them don't subscribe anyway. They just listen to the odd one. They're like, oh, it's a culture episode. Probably could be quite good. Is there any way we can support you in that effort of underground education for girls?
Yes, please. If you want to support these girls, you can visit my website, Kamala Siddiqui Foundation. There is a website and a short video and some pictures from the class. And every day I have contact with them and they post the pictures. And I do some direct management with each class in different part of Kabul, because the one class don't know that where is the other class because of the safety of the girls and my family.
Oh, my God. But that means you can't go back at all until the Taliban are gone, because they must know that you're funding underground education for girls.
Yeah.
That must be very, very difficult for you.
Yeah.
But you are getting in, and there must be other branches of the resistance where girls are finding a way to get an education.
Yes, there are some of the non-profit organizations that they do the same way that I support them in province and also in Kabul city. They just provide some classes, but it's not enough only for 200 girls or 100 girls or 1,000, but there are many, many girls that they are waiting for our support. In this case, I hope international community talk with Taliban to give a chance for girls to start the school and give the chance for them to have their freedom.
What are the other issues for girls and women that we need to know about?
Poverty.
Poverty.
There is no, you know, that most of these women, especially the widow that their husband died in the war, and they have three children or two children, and they don't have any income. They really need support. And every day I receive a lot of pictures that they don't have food. In this case, I support one of the project, income generation project in Kabul, and I provide some kind of machinery that they can use for making fresh fruit to dry fruit. Some kind of income generation project I already start in Kabul for 50 family, but it's not enough.
Mm. Not to bring it back to food again, but like, when a woman goes out in Afghanistan, they have to wear the chadri. How do you go to lunch? How do you go to tea? Are you allowed to do that?
No, because the woman cannot go to the restaurant or anywhere to open their face and sit and eat. In this case, they use to chadri only the time that they go out for some very urgent work. And when they come back at home, and they should eat or...
So otherwise they have to be home, really?
Yes.
So unless you're going to your job.
Yeah.
And are they, at the moment, they're allowing women to work in jobs
some
that they
the
already
place,
have?
I went for a roundtable program in Geneva, and there was a discussion about private sector development. Some of people contact with us online, and they say that some of the girls going to work in the bank, and some other places like hospitals and this place, and also in the airport, but it's not enough.
If you're not allowed to go out to meet friends, are you allowed to have friends at your house to commune?
Yes, the women have a lot of networking to their houses, and they visit and meet each other in their house.
Wow, so it's really like The Handmaid's Tale, where people are, women have to secretly meet, and
yeah.
If they have any plans to do anything that's other than these very, very restricted things. What did you, because I know you've just seen Yellow, what did you think of the short film?
I love you, Boot. Thank you so much. The way that you work and the way that you think about Afghan girls, I really, really respect you guys and appreciate it. It's a wonderful film.
Thank you.
Backstage, you said you thought it was shot in Kabul, which is really something.
Believe me, yes, I was so concerned about your security and all of you that I was thinking that how you go to Kabul and shoot this film. It shows that it's in Mandavi, Kabul, because when I see the way that you make this film, it's really interesting. Mm. No one can believe
Please
that you're not in Kabul.
Feel free to talk to each other and ask each other questions. Yeah.
Should I reveal the secret?
Yes, reveal the secret.
Well, it wasn't filmed in Kabul. It was filmed in East London, in Hackney. Well, the exterior shots at the beginning, some of them are filmed in Kabul, but
yes,
the rest of it was in Hackney.
Magic of filmmaking.
Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
And please feel free to ask Camilla questions yourselves, because you three must have a lot to talk about. You know a lot more about this than Abigail and I do. Well, I don't want to assume Abigail.
I think you'd be right in that, Deborah. I will say, and we can cut this out if it's giving away too much of the film, but the part of the film that really, like, knife turn is when you put on... the veil, and then you take it off and you're like, oh, this one's broken, I can't see out of it, and he just goes, you'll get used to it.
Harsh, right?
Yeah,
but he's a lovely man as well, like he's not being unkind, he's just going, this is the fact,
this is the future, this is how it is.
You will get, but I think he's trying to kindly say you'll get used to it, but she thinks it's broken, and it's like, no, that's just what it is. It's really...
Yeah, I think reasons we made the film as well is that there's a whole generation of Afghan women who've never known the chadri. You know, if you're 20 or younger, you've never worn the veil. And then to suddenly have your freedom, have your education and work, and to suddenly lose that, like, and have to wear that, which is what Layli has to go through in the film. It's quite a shock to have that realization. And that's what we wanted to convey with Yellow, with the film, yeah.
And also, if you can see and search about the Afghan woman pictures 16 years ago, you will see that there is no difference between the Afghan woman and European woman, the way that they dress, and they had their own freedom. In this case, it's really unbelievable for all of us what happened to my country.
It's the most severe women's rights crisis. And I feel it's so important to talk about it, because why is a woman's right less than a human right? Mm. So it's the international community who need to do something about it. And yeah.
Well, you said something really, I thought, astute backstage, Deborah, which is when you have information without action, it just leads to depression.
Yeah.
So like we know this is happening. We know what's going on. So what can we do to help? How can instead of just like sitting in it, what can we here in London do to help Afghan women?
I think we need some more awareness for the international community, like this film, that after 15th of August, there was a lot of attention from international news and international community about Afghanistan. After a few months, everybody forgot about Afghanistan, and no one think about Afghan women, that what's going on there. In this case, we need more support for awareness that about life of Afghan women in Afghanistan. We need some support from London, from all of you.
So we need support. Presumably, you need funds, and we need to keep the conversation going, so that you know the Taliban know that we see, and the international community feels more obligation to put pressure on. Do you have any hope that the Taliban will be toppled again?
Yes, because I have experience. You know, the Taliban, in the first time, 1996, they came and for 4 years, and then they left. And there was a lot of possibility and chance for women to go and study again. And I'm sure one day Afghan people have rights, and there are a lot of people, not only a few people that they just left Afghanistan. I think we really need international community support to talk and to have more dialogue with the Taliban. Maybe they should leave the country, because there is no space for, you know, this kind of people, that there is no life for women, that half of the population of Afghanistan is a woman, but there is no life for them. In this case, I'm very optimistic and hopeful that one day we will go back to Afghanistan and support our people.
I hope so. Kamala, would it be helpful for you if this film, Yellow, was made into a full-length film?
Yes. It's a very hopeful, because most of the young generation that they are living here in London, and when they saw you and this movie, it's a big hope for everyone here in London. And also it's a good example for the other young people to learn the way that you guys supporting education in Afghanistan. I think you should continue more. If you need help, I have a contact with a huge number of Afghan refugee women here, and I have my community interest company here, and I already manage a lot of event here, and I will work voluntarily with you guys too.
Amazing.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful. Awesome.
Thanks.
Feature film made. Yeah.
Do you have a
camera,
sense of what
action.
Kind of budget you would need?
A lot. It's going to be a lot more than what we did, what we made Yellow on.
But you can make low budget films pretty well now, because you don't need as much into the way of, you know, with digitization and everything. It's all doable now.
And we're good at it now that we made Yellow on such a small budget.
Yeah, and also the fact that you've got a BAFTA nomination and an Oscar shortlist means that surely there'll be, you know, BFI would be interested and other funding bodies. So I'm sure there's a way of doing it. And I think especially if Carmela teams up as an executive producer with you,
yep,
which you get an executive producer credit. Have you got any movie credits yet?
No.
Great. Well, this is your first one.
You're starting
executive producer.
There is one important, very good movie in Afghanistan. I don't know, Diana John, you see that from Royal Film? There is a letter from woman to president. There is a very good movie. It was broadcast in my house, and I support that film.
Oh, wonderful. What's that called?
In Afghanistan. Nomi, a letter from a woman to president.
In a Farsi, letter from a woman to a president.
President.
Okay, so we Google that and I'm sure it'll come up.
Yeah, it's a very good movie and I support that movie when I was working in the government.
Great. Well, on this one, you need to I'm negotiating for you. I'm going to be your agent. You need to get an exec. If you're bringing in money and other people, you get an executive producer credit and then you work together and then you start your IMDb and then... This is what's important because a story changes people's minds all the time. It changes their hearts. It changes their...
Yes.
You know, we can know something. We know lots of stuff, but to really impact our empathy, a story, we follow the character and we imagine ourselves in that role. And that's what we see in this. So that's what we need more of. So we need more shorts from you and we'd love to see Yellow as a feature. And I don't know if there's a love story there possible, but I saw one.
I will introduce you guys to Mr. Sikandar. He is also a filmmaker here in London and he make a film for education in Iran. I will introduce you guys to him.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I just love how this is working out.
This is how it happens.
I want to help too. I'm going to bring the snacks.
Is there anybody else in the room who's in film or TV or anything else where you think, oh, we'd like a version of this? It doesn't have, could be another medium. If you are, then please just come to the stage door and say your name or come and see one of these guys in the interval if they're out in the bar and see if you can get involved. Or if you've got a little bit of money that you think, oh, I'd love to back a film and I also want an executive producer credit, then get in touch. You can always email guiltyfeminist@gmail.com and we'll put you in touch with these guys.
Hello, it's Abigailia Shaman, sometimes co-host of Guilty Feminist and winner of Pointless Celebrities, but who's counting? I have some amazing news for you. Global Pillage is coming back, baby. We will be performing Thursday, May 9th, and Monday, June 17th, 7:30 p.m. at King's Place. I am the new host, and we have an amazing panel for you. But what we need is you. You, we need you, the hive mind, to come to the show. So you can get tickets at kingsplace.co.uk. Remember, the shows are May 9th, June 17th, 7:30 p.m. at King's Place. I'll see you there.
This has been really, really informative. We've got just a few minutes left. Does anyone have a question that they would like to ask anyone on our panel?
Can I ask one question I didn't get a chance to ask? When the Taliban left Afghanistan the first time you were there, what was that like? Like when you guys heard, what happened that day for you personally?
For 1 week or 10 days, the women and girls were not able to walk on the street. We never believed that they left the country.
Oh, really?
You didn't believe it? You were too scared?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And after 10 days, we go out and we believe that American is here and international community is in Kabul. And then in the first section, there was a lady, her name was Soraya. She managed a demonstration and there was a 200 women just they removed their chadari in a 1 day. And it was really a good movement that time.
Wow.
Wow.
That's really cool.
There's a film.
Yeah.
There's a film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's a hopeful film, actually, is the last time, because it will show what's possible again.
Yeah.
It will show what's possible.
Imagine that scene, 200 women in blue chadaris, and they just go, whoosh.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to push yours into the future so we see the hope. Does anyone have a question, anything that they've wanted to ask? Please feel free. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Yes.
I don't feel like it's a good enough question. I just wondered...
Come on, feminists.
Like, how old is your character in the film? And is there a specific age where women are forced to wear the chadari? Well,
that's a good question.
Afghanistan.
It was a good enough question, as it turns out.
Yeah. Remember, I was asking about snacks, so dumb questions.
Do you know how old your character is in the film?
We discussed around 22, 23.
Yeah, 22, so she's 23. In her early 20s.
What age does a girl have to be before she has to wear a chadori?
Sometimes some of the young girls, that they are 14 years old, but they are very tall, they have to wear chadori.
So it's just whether you
because
look
of, yes,
the height.
They look young. They
so it's height-based?
They have
to. Like if you look like a young woman.
Or
if
any suggestion 14? That yeah. you've gone through puberty, basically. Anything that would suggest that you're turning into a woman.
So what do little girls wear?
For little girls, it's okay. Just they wear a scarf like me, but not.
So they wear a hijab, but they don't. They don't wear. And as soon as they hit puberty, or there's any sense of there might be going to, then they have to cover. And it's even to the very little ones get any schooling, like reading and writing or anything.
From the first class till sixth class, they go to school.
So year six. So they're like 10.
Year six. Yes.
So ten, they have to stop school.
Ten.
Okay.
How devastating to be 10 years old and learning and loving learning and having a favorite subject and then you can learn nothing.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Shocking. Anybody else got a question? Yes, we got a question there. That makes me feel like crying just thinking about how into school I was when I was year six.
Hi. I'd love to know how you would best recommend engaging the international community, given that I feel like a lot of states and representatives of them in part weigh culpability for causing the issues that you're discussing today.
My recommendation for international community is before the recommendation, still I'm in shock that how international community start democracy practice in Afghanistan and leave us alone like that, that we face with a lot of challenges. And my recommendation is that if international community really want to think about democracy and safety of the world, they have to pay attention for Afghanistan, because Afghanistan security is very important in Asia, and now you see in different parts of the world there are a lot of challenges. In this case, I really request for international community and also for all women leaders that please help Afghan women.
And we had one more. We had one more over here.
My question is about anger. So I find it beautiful that you made the tailor a kind person, because it's very quick that we take anger against the Taliban, for example, and turn it
into... I don't think he's the Taliban. He hates the Taliban too.
Yes, exactly. So the idea of channeling anger against the right people, how do you do that and not turn it against all men or all... For example, yeah. How do you channel that anger?
Oh, what a good question. You're brilliant storytellers who made a good choice not to have it be men versus women, but be power versus vulnerable.
Yeah, and that's exactly why Ilham wrote it that way, because he didn't want it to be sort of to go down the obvious route of what everyone thinks all Taliban are like. And there are actually a lot of young men who might not want to be in a Talib, but they are forced to be. We wanted to show the other side of it.
The longer you institutionalize people, the more generations go by, the more likely people are brainwashed by regimes like that. But you know, this is new. You know, as you say, lots of people are like, "What?" You know, like this is not how we live. And so, the faster that it can be overthrown, the better for everybody. We've got to stop now. There was one more question. We can answer it as quickly as possible. I don't want anyone to go away going, "I didn't get to answer it." Was it you? Very quickly.
My question is related more to both the character and also what you see on the ground. How much are women trying to escape, and how accessible is that at the moment?
No, it's not possible, because majority of people that they had the possibility to leave the country, maybe some of them they have money or some of them they had contact with international community, they left the country. Most of the people that they are living in Afghanistan, they don't have money and they cannot afford to leave the country.
Mm-hmm. So it's like every part of the patriarchy, isn't it? It's like, it's all about like you were asking, how do you turn the anger? Like, the guilty feminist isn't like against all men, it's against the patriarchy. It's against I don't know, sorry, I'm just rambling. It just reminds me of what's happening in America with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Like, rich women are fine. It's poor women who are gonna suffer. Mm-hmm. Sorry to make it about my country, but it just, it,
You're American, we understand.
Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot.
But you're not wrong to draw the parallel. It is about to relate it instead of going, oh, it's over there and that's they're different. It's like, look at the same model exists everywhere. It's the powerful abusing power that is the problem. It's not about gender. Yeah. It's not about... It's not about gender or race, but it's where gender and race is used to humiliate and to use for structural violence and even physical violence.
The last concern that I have, just want to tell you about that they closed the school and they banned the university and a school, but they have planned to open a madrasa in a different part of Kabul. A madrasa is a place that they just teach that Islamic subject, but not a school subject. That's also a big concern right now in Afghanistan, especially for the boys.
Because you think they're going to be indoctrinated?
Yes, they teach them the way that they want and brainwash the young boys.
All right, we'll keep it in the news. We will put in the show notes ways that you can support Carmela's efforts and also how you can support these guys if you'd like to. I don't know if you're doing a crowdfunder or there's anywhere we can tweet about we'd like to see this film and at MUBI or whoever else.
Yeah, if anyone knows anyone at Netflix, MUBI, we're looking for a home for our film. Thank you.
And just remember, if you're in a place right now where you can't donate financially, no worries, I'll wait. Like, art changes minds, so if you're in a place where you can't financially give at the moment, share the story, share the film, share what you can with other people to get them talking about it, to remind people that this is going on.
Absolutely. So please give a big round of applause for Dina Massawi. Afsana Deria. And Carmela Siddiqui. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, the Professor's Wife, guest co-host, Abigail Shimon, and our very special guests, Dina Massawi, Afsana Deria, Carmela Siddiqui. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Sawyer, speaker of the Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Kaufman, Gina Desia, Zainab Mohammed, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Short film, and it is a... Sorry, can I take that again? I feel I need you to be more encouraging.
Permission.
Thank you, a man. Thank you, a man, for giving me the permission to not need your permission. Is this your first time here? Yeah, I find it fascinating. It's just a lifetime, isn't it, of thinking, yeah. No, listen, I don't want to take it from you, Sarah. I want it for myself.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.